This is the DMT One-to-One Show, episode 15, on the 27th of June, 2013, an interview with Soundwave.
So it's great to be here on the DMT One-to-One Show, and today I'm here with Brandon O'Driscoll, who's the CEO of the company Soundwave. So hi, Brandon, and great to have you on the show. How's it going?
Thanks for having us, Andrea. We're delighted to be here.
So, Brandon, it's been a big week for Soundwave, and the app has launched officially after a few months of beta, and it's making a big splash. So, first of all, can you tell us all about, I'm sure you've said it 100 times already this week, but what the company does and what the app does?
Sure, big time. Yeah, so it's been a crazy week. So we've a smartphone app for Android and for iPhone. It tracks what songs people listen to on their phones and where they are when they're listening to those songs. So you can plug in. It's actually somewhat similar to Twitter for music. So you can plug in and follow particular people and see what they're playing in real time. And then you can the other cool thing is you can go to any location in the world and draw a circle over that location and see instantly the songs that are playing and the top played songs there.
Yeah, and so talk me through the process of what happened, because that's quite an interesting story. You know, you went from an incubator or a program to sort of a company that's grown, and you know, you've done a full blown launch this week, and you've got a big feature on the App Store as well, which is great. And so talk me through that process, because I'm sure the listeners are going to be interested in that sort of entrepreneurial side of how things happen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a whirlwind 18 months. We went through NDRC Launchpad Accelerator program here in Dublin from February to May of last year. Really intensive 3 months, a lot of kind of product market fit, really understanding, not just trying to build as fast as possible, but really trying to understand as fast as possible where the market fit is with the product that we were building. So we went through that for 3 months. We graduated out of that in first place then in May of last year. And that really gave us a lot of exposure and opened us up to a whole lot of opportunities. And from there then, I suppose, we really started picking up an awful lot of momentum. We expanded the team up to 8 people. We got our own offices in January, and we really just hit the code base pretty hard, and we surfaced there again last week with the launch, as you said, on iPhone and Android.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's an interesting company, because also one of the things that you managed to do is that Soundwave is able to tap into what people are listening to on the iTunes Music app, which is quite an achievement, because you're the first company to actually be able to figure out a way around sort of Apple's systems, but actually with Apple's approval to do this. And so you're able to track what people are listening to after they install the app without them having to do anything of of the kind. They don't have to think about it, essentially. So so that was a big thing for you guys. And also, you also took some chances when it came to contacting high-profile people to help you in that quest. So and that's another thing that I think is it's an interesting lesson for people that are looking to be entrepreneurs or are having their own company, in terms of trying to shoot for the sky. And so would you mind telling us how you ended up, for example, getting in touch with IDQ and how that story came about?
Yeah, I mean, for kind of going back to the iPhone part first, we were really interested, I suppose, in what people were listening to on their smartphones. We were walking down the street, we saw everybody with headphones on, and they're all plugged into smartphones. But we knew, as you're saying, you know, that there was kind of no way of figuring out what people were actually listening to, especially on iPhone. And so we put a lot of time into that and really did a lot of late night brainstorming. We came up with this solution that we thought was effective and worked, and hopefully it was going to be approved by the App Store. So we actually just, in terms of then kind of reaching out to people, it really was a case of just finding email addresses online and adding people on LinkedIn and just letting them know what we were up to. And I think because of the product itself did a lot of the selling on our behalf, so showing people early versions of the product, they saw the potential it had, and then they really wanted to open up doors for us and help us out. So we reached IDQ, and passes on to his team, and we reached out to Steve Wozniak as well, and got some great kind of insights from him on feature suggestions and stuff too. So it was great to really, I suppose, let the product do the talk, as opposed to us having to hire someone.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, it's one of those products that you need a big support base for it to really come into its own. And it's great to have at least a few spokespeople that can start, kick off that process. And of course, I was at your event in London on Monday, where you had an introduction at the App Store, at the Apple Store, with Stephen Fry and yourself presenting the application. And Stephen Fry has been an early advocate of Soundwave as well. And so it's great to see that kind of support for an early stage company, because that that's pretty rare really these days.
Yeah, great. I mean, Stephen has always been a fan of like emerging technology, and we really wanted to just reach out to him and show him what we're doing, and he picked up on it almost immediately. Really, really enjoyed the product, really understood it from the get go. And since then, he's just been a supporter and a fan. So we were kind of chatting with Apple about this and about our launch, and they suggested, you know, hey, why don't we try and get Stephen to come along to the event? And one thing led to another, and we had this fantastic event on Monday, and he said you were there. But it was really great, just kind of really informal chat with Stephen, kind of regaining why he thought sound was interesting and the benefits of Soundwave, and just kind of the wider story of how we came to be as well. So I was really, really excited. Yeah. We were really excited to be there and to be chatting with him about Soundwave.
And so I know it's early days, but the app has been live for maybe like 5 or 6 days now. And so how are things shaping up? And are you happy with how it's behaving? And are your servers working well and everything?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been a really energy intensive few days, a few late nights as well. But it's been amazing. I mean, within 48 hours, we had hit 182 different countries. Wow. Had downloaded in 182 different countries. So just to see that spread in real time is just incredible. You know, we've logged, I think, somewhere, I last count was about 500,000 or 600,000 plays in the last 5 or 6 days. You know, it's incredible just to see the explosive growth that we received. You know, and I think that a lot of that attributes to our early kind of core user base of beta testers that were helping us out and giving us iterative feedback. You know, really and helps support us. It's been amazing to watch.
Yeah, and the geolocation side is, of course, is pretty interesting. You know, for people that are listening, you know, you can go and look at the map of where you are on Soundwave, and then you can draw a circle around the area where you're at, and you will be able to browse through what people are listening to in specific places, which is pretty cool and pretty interesting. If you are, for example, in Camden, like I am right now, or if you are in Dublin or wherever essentially you find yourself to be, and so. How do you think this feature could shape up in the future? Of course, right now it's a pretty simple feature that you can just deploy for fun and have a look around and browse through what's happening. But do you think there could be more sort of advanced applications to that in the future?
Definitely. No, I think as you hit the nail on the head. We focused on, you know, just a really simple, intriguing kind of base level feature there, and it's one of those ones when you have the app in your hand and you're looking at the map, it's really engaging in terms of just literally drawing a circle with your finger over anywhere in the world. But I think this has a lot of potential, much more than where we're at right now. You know, we can get a lot more in-depth and filtering by particular time sets and particular genres as well, you know.
Yeah.
So if I was into hip-hop, I wanted to know the top paid hip-hop song in New York in the last hour, I can find that type of information, you know. So it really allows you to plug in any location, whether it's country, city, street, or building, and see what's being played and see what's playing the most. So it's quite exciting that you've got this visibility of kind of going anywhere in the world and seeing it.
That's great. That's awesome. And finally, I wanted to ask you about how people are going to interact within the app. So, of course, that's a big part of it, because once you install the app starts listening to what you're listening to, and that's great. It becomes part of the feed. But also, like, a big part of making the app work is to get people to actually go into the app and check out what people are doing on the feeds, interacting with that side of things. So how do you think that will work out? And do you feel like a lot of interaction is going to happen within the app or also outside?
I really think that's where the whole kind of central element of what we're doing started. You know, we built this because we wanted to see what each other were listening to, and we were able to do that. You know, so I mean, I think that is the strongest part of the app, is I can find my friends easily. I can follow them, and I know, you know, certain friends are into certain types of music much more than I am, and I can see, you know, what do they listen to, and I can very quickly leverage the work they've done in finding the new music, and I can be listening to it as well. You know, whether I stream it on SoundCloud or on YouTube within our app, or I purchase it through our app, or you know, we're working on kind of deep integration with different players now as well, so you could export or play through your Spotify or your audio account from within our app as well. So
that's great.
That's always the way. My understanding, anyway, has always been the way that most people find new music is by, you know, conversations down the pub or talking to their friends or asking other people, hey, what new music have you found, or what bands are you listening to now, or someone puts on a song and you go, hey, who's that, you know? So, I mean, it's always kind of the social life of discovering music. And I think what we've done, I suppose, which might be different, is the seamless integration that you don't need to manually tag anything, you don't have to type what you're listening to, you don't have to play through kind of a crappy player we might have built. You just go about doing what you always have done, enjoy your music.
That's great. And again, the app is available on iOS and Android. And of course, you don't need my push for the actual dispersion of the app, but hopefully it's going to raise awareness a little bit within the music industry of what you guys are doing. And thanks so much for being on the show. It was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Andre.
If you enjoyed the show, remember to check out our weekly music tech news show on digitalmusictrends.com.